Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thank you so much for spending some of your time with us. And it is us this time, because once again, I have my wonderful co-host, Lisa Campion, and we will be discussing what it is to be an empath and what empaths need to know about being an empath. And I think we will surprise you with some of the information. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which isn't, well, it's, is it going to be metaphysical? I don't even know. I was marveling at technology and how easily we can do some things. And, you know, sometimes I marvel at the technology that makes this show possible and that lets you listen to it wherever you are, whenever you are, so easily. And it's even easier now with the mobile app. But typically when I talk to somebody to do the work that I do, we arrange a phone call and I talk to them and maybe download a satellite photo of the property they're talking about, if we're talking about a house. And I will check things out remotely and give them the information about what I found. And, you know, we basically have a business meeting over the phone. But I got an email through my website from somebody in Central America. And making phone calls to Central America is kind of dicey, so we connected by Skype. Skype is amazing. You know, if I'm talking to clients, I don't usually do the video. I do that when I visit with friends. I have a friend in Australia, and it's just wonderful to be able to sit there and talk to each other. But we got on Skype, and we talked as if we were having a normal phone conversation. I got the satellite photo of the location, and it was business, so I went to their website, and I could see pictures of the inside and the outside of the building, and I did my reading of what was going on, and, you know, quoted price, and we were good to go. I sent her a PayPal invoice, and she paid it and sent me some more pictures. It was so easy. Now, in the old days, a shaman was somebody who was part of the tribe in the village, and the responsibility of the shaman was to take care of the spiritual needs of the tribe, but also to help people with all kinds of problems. The shaman would go into the spirit world to either talk to the spirits and have them do something, or to make a change in the unseen and come back, and that would be how things would come to pass in the village, how people would be healed. That person might also be a healer or an herbalist or do any number of different modalities. And to allow the medicine person or the shaman to do their work, the tribe would take care of them. So the shaman didn't have to build his own shelter or feed himself. You know, they would bring him food. And, you know, pretty much all their normal needs were taken care of so that they could focus on this very special work that they did. Well, it occurred to me that, you know, you can't really barter for a chicken when somebody lives on the other side of the planet, which is why we use PayPal. But this is now a global village. You know, that's kind of a hokey term that got used. But here we are. It's a global village. I know lots and lots of people doing shamanic work remotely who work with folks all over the world. And so do I. I think my furthest clients are in Australia, which is as far away as you can get. And it's so easy now with this technology. I am so grateful for the way technology has improved and grown and matured over the last, especially 10 years, to allow all of us to communicate in so many different ways, like this show, but also making it very, very easy for me to reach out to people and do the work that I do. It's just, it's mind-boggling and it's wonderful. And this was one of my gratitude exercises for the day, was just marveling at how we can do this now. So one more thing in the world as it is now that's totally amazing. Totally amazing. So that's my metaphysical musing. And let's say hello to my wonderful co-host, Lisa Campion. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Well, we could get used to this. It's fun.
I think we should.
And we have lots to talk about. So what we said we were going to talk about this time is empaths. And I know this is a conversation that we've had before, but I know you also teach a class and have other materials for empaths. And so why don't you explain what an empath is? Because I think folks are going to be surprised.
Sure, yeah. I think it's important to start with a definition, and I find when I define it, people go, "Oh my God, that's what I am!" You know, thank you for putting a label to it, because I just thought I was crazy. You know,
exactly.
But the way that I like to think about it is that there's empathy, which is like the psychological quality of being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and understand how they're feeling, right, with compassion. Mm-hmm. And then there's being an empath, which is different. It's like, it's sort of like that on steroids. It's like the extreme version of that. And being an empath is really like one of the psychic gifts. So empaths feel what other people are feeling. So, and they do that in one of two ways. An empath can put their hands on somebody and they'll feel what the person is feeling, but they feel it in their body.
Right.
Put your hand on somebody, you feel their headache, and it's your headache now. And they feel other people's emotions, but they don't just notice other people's emotions. Oh, look at Susie. She looks so sad. They
right.
feel it. They sit next to Susie, and all of a sudden, they're sad. Like, it's their feeling, right? And
right.
That's physical empathy and emotional empathy. And my belief about empathy is that it is absolutely the tools and gifts that healers are meant to have. So if you're an empath, you're meant to be a healer, helper, caretaker, somehow, because it is like the perfect diagnostic tools for a healer.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And it sort of crosses the line into telepathy, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there is a form of empathy that is more telepathic. And so you're feeling, you can hear people's thoughts, feel people's feelings, and feel what they're feeling in their body. And,
right.
Happens often, you know, with animals. So empaths tend to prefer animals and small children to like other grown-ups, because they can vibe off the animals, have clean energy, and you know, so empaths can always tell what their pets are feeling and thinking, and it's really challenging. So most of the empaths that I train, that I work a lot on training empaths and psychics to manage their gifts, is that they'll come and they'll tell me, you know, make it go away, like turn it off, like it's a curse, it is not a gift, it is a and stop it. And I think that's the sad thing, that so many empaths feel so challenged by how difficult it is until they learn how to manage it.
Right, and especially the situations where someone is very emotional and stifling it, and they're, you know, in the next booth in the diner or something.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're feeling weird or feeling sad or getting angry, and there's no reason for it that you can figure out. And the thing that I have come up with for myself, and that I tell anybody that's an empath, is always ask the question, is this mine?
Right.
You know, because maybe this whole thing that's going on inside of you isn't even yours, and you can say, oh, it's not mine. Okay.
I know, and especially if you work as a healer, like I remember years and years ago being in a session with somebody, and this lady was talking to me, you know, about why she was in for the session, and she's talking, like, oh, nope, everything's fine. I don't really know why I'm here. And I had this, like, incredible impulse to stand up and like huck my coffee cup across the room and scoot out. And I was like, I'm a pretty mild-mannered person, so I don't generally do that. And I was like, whoa. Like, why am I so mad right now? I was like, oh, it's her. You know, it's her. So I was like, oh, are you really kind of angry right now? She's like, oh, my God, how did you know? I thought I was trying to hide it, you know? And, of course, the more people try to hide it, the more the empath will feel it.
And at least if you're in a session, you have a pretty good idea. You've cleared yourself. The space is clear. You have one person in the room, and you can sort of figure it out. But it's more complicated, for example, with family or big gatherings or that kind of thing. I know everybody I know that's an empath gets a hangover after being at a party from all the emotions that you don't even realize you're picking up. I know I can't. I basically can't go to a large venue for a performance or, you know, ball game or any of that. Place with 60,000 people, all of them screaming, and that's been going on in that location for, you know, however many years the stadium has been there. Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what I really don't like is the movie theater. I mean, I love movies, but I like to go in the middle of the day when there isn't anybody there, because a crowded movie theater is really difficult for me because if you think about it, like, movies are designed to provoke an emotional response in us. So it's like 150 people all feeling the same thing at the same time in a small, an enclosed room.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And they came with whatever their social, the emotions of their social situation for that evening are.
Yep.
Yeah, I try to be in a theater that's got this, what do they call it when the seating goes up, so that you're not sitting on the same,
like a balcony,
like
a balcony.
No, there's some theaters that are basically flat, and there's some theaters.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Where the seats rise up, like, so you can see over the people in front of you. That gives you a little bit more room, and you're not on the same level as all the other people. And I try to put myself directly in the middle where people are not likely to walk all the way across the road to get to me.
Yeah.
But I was recently in a local theater that was basically a flat room, and it was a very busy night. It was the last Star Wars movie, and it was intense.
Yep.
It was very intense, and there are a lot of people that are affected that way, but they don't have any idea that that's what's happening to them, and they don't have any idea that that's a psychic gift that they can use effectively.
I know. I remember the first time the penny dropped for me was way before anybody was talking about this kind of stuff, so I was like 17. I was in high school. I was like 17 or 18 years old, and I went to a party. I was in a perfectly good mood, and I went to a party, and going to the party, and I sit next to a guy who's like having the worst day. You know, he's crying, he's like miserable, his girlfriend broke up with him. And I, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, I feel terrible. Like, I have to go home. Like, I'm like crying, you know, about to cry myself. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? You know, like, am I crazy? You know, so I get up and I leave, and I get outside, and I just happen to turn around and look it back through the window, and I saw him sitting there, and all of a sudden I felt fine. And
right.
In that moment, the penny dropped. I'm like, it's not me. There's nothing, like, I'm feeling his feelings. And I didn't even know what to call it. There wasn't even like the word empath back then. This was like in the 80s, you know?
Right.
But I understood that, and it made me feel so much less crazy, or because empaths tend to be very emotional people anyway, like on their own. So,
right.
Empaths are deep feelers and feel things intensely just on their very own. And, you know, empaths always will say, you know, everybody tells me I'm too sensitive. Like, I need to get a thicker skin. Stop being so emotional.
Yeah, to which my response is, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, sensitivity is what allows you to do what you do in the world, and people are like, oh, don't be who you are.
Yeah.
I usually have a few other choice words on the side.
Yeah. You know, and I think, like, I've had sort of deep thoughts about empathy lately as kind of like a, I'm starting to see it as like a very high-level spiritual gift, sort of a highly advanced spiritual gift. Like, where as humans evolve, like, more evolved humans become more empathic. And I think that, like, often think, like, if everyone was empathic, if you go on the premise that you can feel what everybody else is feeling, and empaths sort of have kind of this felt sense of, like, we're all one, you know, like,
right.
I'm not going to kill a bug. A bug is alive, you know, and if everybody was empathic, we really wouldn't have wars or fight or have, armed conflicts. Like, we'd be a very peaceful society if everyone felt what everybody else was feeling.
Right. And it would be easier to have a conversation about it because people couldn't lie.
Right.
What do you mean you're not feeling sad? Of course you're feeling sad. I can feel it.
Right.
Yeah, one of the first times it happened for me very dramatically, and it was more the telepathic end of it, I was teaching at a residential treatment center, and one of the kids in the class was getting revved up and just wasn't acting like he usually did. And I put my hand on his shoulder just to calm him down and immediately knew he was having a problem with his girlfriend. And so I asked him, hey, what's going on with you and so-and-so? And he went ballistic. How did you know about that? Yeah. Well, never mind how I knew about it, but what's going on?
Yeah.
See?
Tools of a healer.
What's that?
Tools of a healer.
Yeah. And that was startling to me. And then I realized I can do these kinds of things. Get information in this way, and that can be helpful. You know, because working in a place like that, most of what you do is intuitive. Because the kids are going to challenge you any way they can.
Well, so, what do you think, like, the big challenges are? What do you think that people who are empathic, like, what do they really struggle with, do you think?
Well, I think people that don't realize that they're empathic are struggling with these emotions that you can't resolve because you can't resolve someone else's emotions in your body.
Right.
The emotions are in the body. You're picking up the sensations from somebody else, but they aren't about you, and you can't fix it. So you can spend a whole lot of time fussing with why am I angry, why am I sad, when it has nothing to do with you. And so that's when developing the understanding and the skill and working with it is really important. But I think the other aspect to it is feeling different. And you know, people ask me if I was psychic when I was a kid, and my response is no, I was a pain in the ass. You know, because I just saw through all the stupid family dynamics and called them on it.
Yeah.
And especially when I got to be about 15 or 16, I was really on it because it was pretty crazy stuff. And I wouldn't at that point have said that I was empathic. I wouldn't have said that I was particularly sensitive, or might have said intuitive. I grew up in Brooklyn, although, as I always say, there's no evidence that I actually grew up, you know, where confrontation and having an attitude is just part of the culture. So, you know, when the stuff was going on, I had to say something about it. But it was, everything was in my face. I knew what all the nonsense was that people were not saying out loud.
Yeah, and I think if it's crazy making if you're like the one, you know, person who's like the emperor's not wearing any clothes, you know.
Right.
And that I find that empaths really often struggle with depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
Or both. And it's a complicated thing. So I think some you know, the depression comes from holding other people's feelings. So they're emotional to start with, and they've got the burden of everybody else's emotions on them, and feeling like they don't belong, like you said, or they don't fit in, not knowing how to shield it, and just sort of emotionally overwhelmed all the time, right? And anxiety from, I think many empaths, especially the super sensitive ones, don't feel safe in the world, and right. It's hard for them to pinpoint why exactly. They're often like highly tuned into the suffering of the world in general. So the news, you know, freaks them out, like, you know, the suffering of the planet, or people suffering that they can't do anything about. Makes them
feel
really unsafe.
It's not even necessarily knowing it. I had a friend in California who used to call me out of the blue and say, I don't know what's going on. I'm just grieving. I'm, you know, I have all these emotions going through me. I feel really crazy. And it took us two or three rounds of these events to figure out that anytime there was a large group of women and children that were either in danger or died suddenly, she would feel it in her body.
Yeah.
She would go into grief.
Yep.
And she eventually learned that when she felt that way, she had to, you know, go to a news website and look at what the disaster that had just happened was, and be able to focus her healing intent and her intention on sending energy to those people that were in trouble and letting it go from her body.
Yeah.
But she would she'd call me completely crying, losing it.
Hmm.
And we eventually figured out what the trigger was.
Yeah, and I also find when I work with empaths that depression and anxiety can lead to addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And the addiction, you know, drinking or drugging, is really a habit that some empaths use to try and turn off the feelings. Like, they
right.
don't know how to shut down their own feelings. They don't know how to shut down other people's feelings. And that has a temporary effect of doing, you know, of shutting it down, unfortunately,
right.
long-term, you know, it doesn't work at all.
Self-medicating, that's
right.
also associated with their own childhood abuse, which they may not even be aware of. The percentage of people who are addicts or homeless that report that they were abused as children is something higher than 50%.
Sad. And I think what's often terrible but true and is worth talking about is that I noticed that that empathic children are much more likely to be targeted for abuse. You know, so if you're a predator, an abuser, and you're like scanning the, you know, children around you to figure who you're going to go for, it's almost always the empathic child.
Right.
That gets it. Not the kid with the really strong energetic boundary, you know, and the real tough kids. It's the sensitive, empathic ones.
It's the one that you can project your emotions on and manipulate.
Yep, that's right.
Well, we're getting close to the break. Let's tell people where they can find you online.
Sure. LisaCampion.com is my website.
And it's Campion spelled like champion without the H.
That's right.
I love that. So when we come back, we will pick up on this whole idea of childhood abuse and empaths and predators, because I think that's a very important conversation that most people are not aware of, not paying any attention to. You know, that's so common, and it's a mechanism that people need to be aware of. Well, the whole situation is something that people need to be aware of. So, we're having a great time here talking about empaths with my delightful friend, Lisa Campion. And we'll be back shortly, unless we get taller. This is, as you already know, this is the Farkas Files. I'm David Franklin Farkas. And we're on Empower Radio. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
tired of styling your hair every day, and do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What did he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my wonderful co-host, Lisa Campion. And we're discussing empaths and what it's like to be an empath and how empaths can learn to both use that sensitivity and also live with that sensitivity. So you were mentioning that predators and sociopaths will tend to find the empaths in a group of kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. When I work with empaths, like often we have to do trauma work, you know, because mm-hmm. so often they've been targeted or, you know, traumatized. And I just think that, like you said it exactly right before the break, you know, that, the predator is looking for someone who they can push past their boundary, but also someone they can project their feelings on, and maybe even somebody who will feel their feelings.
Right, right. So, and especially being able to control them without saying anything,
yeah.
Being able to project that anger and fear without having to do anything. And then people say, well, why didn't you respond in some other way? And it's because the kid is overwhelmed with the emotions.
Right.
You know, I work on people, and when I scan people, 30 to 50% of the people that I scan have the energy pattern that's the telltale of childhood abuse.
Mm-hmm.
It's so pervasive.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Incredibly pervasive.
Yep, I agree. I see the same thing in my practice.
So, again, for people who are sitting there listening and going, oh, wait a minute, I'm an empath? What? Huh? What do they need to know? And what do they need to know about being an empath? And what do they need to know about managing that sensitivity?
Well, I guess I'll go back to saying what I said at the beginning. Like, it, even though it's hard to think it is, it's really, really, really a gift. And it is the gift of the healer. So learning how to manage it, what I usually start with, there's kind of like a few big things that need to be done, but I usually start with helping people strengthen and understand their energy field. Because I'm an energy healer, you know, Reiki person and teach at an energy medicine school, I sort of look at people from the lens of the energy field. And empaths have a different energy field from other people. So their aura tends to be much bigger, it's way expanded. Mm-hmm. And the outer edge of the energy field is porous instead of solid. It's like a sponge, you know, and so empaths are often called the psychic sponges, right?
Right.
And literally the outer edge of the energy field is spongy instead of sort of more solid. So a non-empathic person has like a more solid layer. And that it's really weird when you say this to empaths, you know, that non-empathic people feel like they're inside their own little bubble and nothing gets past their boundary without their permission. And that's like you're speaking Greek to an empath on that, right? Because empaths are so easily invaded and don't have that sort of sense of boundary of like, this is me, I'm in here, and the world is over there, right?
Right.
So one of the things you can do, it's the easiest things you can do that gives you a lot of freedom and an immediate sense of boundary is to work on the outer edge of your boundary. So this basic energy management hygiene, like grounding, being empaths tend to get out of their bodies. They hit empathic overload, like so the sponge is full. They go out, so they're ungrounded. So they need to ground. They need to learn how to clear the stuff, the residual energy they pick up, and they need to learn to protect, you know, to strengthen the outer edge of the field. And I do guided meditation that helps you learn how to do that. And I think that has like immediate positive effects.
Right.
It helps right away.
Right. And it makes perfect sense in terms of what I see with that abuse pattern. Part of that pattern is being ungrounded.
Yep.
Is the lower two chakras being chronically closed, mm-hmm. because leaving your body is a way not to feel all the stuff that's happening to you, whatever the abuse is.
Exactly. So it's psychologists call it dissociation. And
right.
It is perfectly normal, and it's what happens if you're being abused. You dissociate because it sort of cushions your body and your psyche from the experience. And so especially empaths that have abuse have even more a strong pattern of dissociating.
Right.
And like, you know, 20 minutes into this mall or 20 minutes into Walmart, an empath's going to dissociate. They're going to leave their body. And then things get bad because if you're not in your body regulating your own energy field, you get even more flooded and more overloaded.
Right.
So it takes sort of a discipline, like, of, you know, sort of like the energy management basics, ground, clear, protect. It's like you got to go to the gym. You know, it's like going to the gym for your energy field, and over time it has a very positive positive impact on it strengthening you. So that's the first step.
Well, and in addition to attracting physical predators, the other thing that happens is that non-physical parasites, entities that want to mess around with somebody, will see that the person is out of their body insensitive and an easy target.
Yep.
And then you have another totally different set of emotions and agendas and thoughts that are coming in. You can't even pin it on a person.
Yeah, I know. That it is totally true. So, and the more time you spend out of your body, the more likely somebody else is going to move into it.
Right.
You know? So.
And one of the things, depending on what entry point and what spiritual tradition the person has started with. A lot of the older meditation traditions are mostly about the upper chakras and leaving your body.
Right.
And not about being grounded. And that, in my experience, is a very dangerous practice. You've got to teach people how to be grounded before they ever have an opportunity to go out of their body and have all those wild and crazy fun experiences, many of which aren't all that fun.
No, they're really not fun. I mean, I kind of break down people into two categories in general with the chakras. So there's upper chakra people like us, you know, the psychics who really live in the upstairs chakras. Mm-hmm. And they're low, and meditation isn't good unless you've developed your lower chakras. And then there's lower chakra people who really live in the lower three chakras, and they deal with the world very well. And they're the ones that need meditation to open the upper ones.
Right.
But agree with you completely that if you have got no game going on down in your lower chakras, traditional meditation practices aren't going to be helpful. But things like yoga, tai chi, you know, body-centered practices are super beneficial if you have trouble staying in your body.
Right. And all of the martial arts, including soft martial arts like tai chi, are at least initially about grounding.
Yep, totally. And that's my training as earliest spiritual training was as a martial artist. So 10 years of Okinawan karate, mm-hmm. you know, gave me a really excellent platform to then be a psychic from, you know.
Right. Because you were grounded in your body and you could do the upper chakra stuff and still be safe and grounded in your body.
Yep.
There's an exercise. Interesting when I was in a group that did it. There's an exercise of testing your grounding by two people trying to pick you up.
Yeah.
And I never really had much problem with that. I was a wrestler. I can put my weight all the way down low. But then they did a confrontation one where they tried to scare you, you know, like a quarter of an inch from your face, try and get you to leave your body.
Yeah.
And they were so freaked out that they couldn't get me that they had the instructor come over and try. And, you know, I'm doing work where I'm confronting demons. There was nothing they could do. It was like,
wow.
No. What do you think you're doing? No, that's not going to work.
I mean, I got the same sort of thing by being a martial artist and fighting, you know, sometimes sparring, you know. So kind of, you know, it takes a lot to rattle me out of my body.
Yep.
And I think it's a good practice.
And I can't say most people, well, there are a lot of people where sports does give them that. Mm-hmm. Because most of what goes on in sports is about confrontation and maintaining your grounding and balance so that you can keep going and play through whatever the situation is. But for a lot of people, there isn't anything in their lives that gives them that.
Right. And empaths don't tend to like that stuff. So,
right. Empaths are going to be the ones that are singing songs and
right. Playing at home.
Playing at home, being dancers.
Right, by themselves, painting right. And writing poetry and stuff, you know.
Right.
They're not signing up for football practice, pretty much.
Right. So, and it's, I think, part of the reason that the two groups of people so don't understand each other.
Because I think empaths tend to be introverted, you know, so mm-hmm. it takes like everything they've got to just be at school or be in the world. And when they don't have to do that, they're like, whew, you know, give me my room with my Harry Potter books and I'm right. happy, you know. They need time, introversion, time in nature, time alone, time with pets to kind of recover the effort it takes for being out in the world, right?
Right. Right. And it's interesting to watch kids and see what their preferred modality for recharging is.
Yeah.
And where they go. But a lot of the time it's arts in some form, even if it's just listening to music or playing music is even better. But just sitting and listening to music as basically a meditative practice. to recharge?
Yeah, it's there's a lot empaths can do to recharge. So besides alone music, I love creativity. That's an awesome. That's very effective. Being in nature. So
mm-hmm.
walking in the woods, being in the sun, being with animals. those kinds of things tend to be very recharging for empaths, especially nature. Empaths tend to have an affinity for the natural world and can often find their balance if they can get some alone time outside every day.
Right, right. Another one is baths.
Yeah, water salt. Of all kinds.
Right, water of all kinds, but salt baths are very grounding and will tend to pull all the psychic crud off your body.
I think if you don't have a tub, you can get a salt scrub that you mm-hmm. can use in the shower. That's also pretty effective if you don't have a tub.
Well, and the other trick, which somebody out of the blue said, you do heavy-duty work, you should know this trick, is get an aluminum baking pan with no coating on it and just put dry Epsom salts in it and put your feet in it.
Wow.
And it will, there's something about the field that's created by the Epsom salts with the aluminum.
Really?
It's extremely grounding and it will pull all the psychic crud off your body.
Oh my God, I haven't heard that. I love that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I also have one in a drawer so that after I work on people, even though I'm not actually touching people, I get the same effect of my hands tingling and a lot of energy and the stuff that I've been dealing with being there. And you just put your hands into the salt for a couple of minutes and it'll clear all that stuff, huh?
I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome tip. And I'm a big fan of Epsom salts, so when I take salt baths, I prefer Epsom salts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see salt's fine, you know, any kind of salt's fine, but I'm with you with the Epsom salts. But that's a good one. I didn't know that one. Thanks for that tip.
You're welcome. Yeah, that was one of those things where I was in a crystal shop and the woman behind the counter said, you're that guy that does, oh yeah, well, I'm a seventh generation medicine woman and I'm being told you need to know this.
Super cool.
Thanks. Was one of those many moments where it's like, oh, that was interesting. And we'll take this home and try it.
Well, I think we should talk about empaths in relationship.
Yes.
Because that's sort of my second stage that I work on. So when I work with them, I'm managing, I work first with grounding and dealing with their own sort of energy management basics. And then the next thing we have to do is talk about relationships and setting boundaries and the whole crazy thing about empaths being drawn into relationships with narcissists. Like there's a strong correlation. So I sort of see these empathy and narcissism as opposite poles on a continuum,
mm-hmm.
you know? And whenever we really hold a strong polarity on any continuum, we tend to attract partners that have the opposite polarity.
Right.
And I don't see it as necessarily a bad thing. I think that there can be positive things that happen where if you're an empath and you have, so narcissists are like more sort of selfish, you know, and sometimes are like want to take energy from the empaths. But I do think that an empath can take a step towards the narcissist and, you know, psychologists call it healthy narcissism, which is really just about having good self-esteem. And narcissists can take a step towards empaths, which is to be, mm-hmm. you know, consider how other people feel. and then there's potential for both people to grow and evolve in a good way. It doesn't always go down that way, but I think there's often the potential. Like that's why sometimes we get pulled into these polarized relationships. And then if you don't know that, if you don't know how to manage your energy, being in a relationship with a narcissist is super, super, super challenging for an empath, right?
Right. And then since many narcissists are sociopaths, it can get even crazier because then you get the issues of control.
Yeah. And then it crosses the line and goes into abuse, but
right.
I think that I've seen that work the way that I laid it out, where it's actually benefits both people. You know, if the narcissist isn't so narcissistic and they're willing to do some work and they fulfill their side of the contract in the relationship, and it can sort of both sides can grow. But I think it's the challenge for empaths in relationships is always about setting boundaries, saying no, and it's tough for empaths because empaths really care. Empaths have huge, big hearts, love people, are filled with compassion, know they're here to help, and feel other people's pain. So if somebody comes to you and they're all in pain and freaked out and they're like, oh my God, will you help me? The empath's like, oh, of course I will. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's challenging, and it takes a lot of practice and a lot of learning to learn how to say no and set the boundary. Because when we talk about setting boundaries, it's just really a fancy way of saying no, right?
Right. Exactly. What's coming to mind about those polarized relationships is the classic narcissistic greaser in his fancy car showing off. And the cheerleader or other girls who go, oh, Fonzie, and fawn over them.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, you know, like every leader needs their follower, right, or their fan club. And that's good. So I had to learn... Like the no saying is hard for me. It's still sometimes hard for me. But what I did was had to learn a bunch of really nice ways to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and practice a lot. So things like, wow, you know, I'd really love to help you, but right now I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really love to say yes, but I'm overcommitted. And you practice those things so that you learn a bit nicer way to do it. And I think also never giving an answer in the moment, because you're almost always say yes in the moment. So saying something like, oh, let me think about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Is very useful. And the other tip that I give empaths is to use their technology to help create a boundary for them. So let your phone ring to voicemail. Don't, you know, set your phone to the do not disturb setting. Screen your calls, you know, and use that technology. We can also help create a boundary or a barrier for us if that's challenging for you.
Right. Right. It's interesting. I watch the issues of boundaries even on something like Facebook, where people just come crashing in out of nowhere and take over what you're doing and what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then they're really surprised when you go, who are you and why do you think you can do this here? You know, then they have nasty things to say. But the good news about Facebook is that you can always block them.
Yes. And that's like a great boundary setting.
Right, no. Which is harder to do in real life, but it's good practice on Facebook.
Yeah.
In the virtual world.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the most important thing, the most important takeaway for people who are sitting here and realizing that they're empaths?
You're not crazy. You're really, really, really special. And you're meant to do important things in the world, you know, to figure out how to use your gifts. And I find that empaths have like a lot of frustration and depression when they know they're for something special and they can't figure out how to bring it. So like I trained one of my Reiki students, really wanted to do hospice work. She's a brilliant healer. And she was so frustrated because doing hospice work, being in a hospice, put her right in the line of fire in a very highly charged environment that was difficult for her as an empath.
Right.
I can't do it. and she was seriously depressed. So when we worked together, and she really learned the techniques and how to manage herself and how to set her boundaries and how to hold her field, she was able to step in and do her work, and that sort of solved her depression and, you know, brought her a tremendous amount of happiness and, you know, God knows the world needs all the healers it can get, right? So,
right.
So I think that may be the most important thing to think about, that doing all those things is so that you can be in the world in the way you're meant to be and do what you're meant to do, which is very satisfying and happy for empaths.
Well, as always happens when we're talking about things that are fascinating, we're running out of time.
We'll have to do it again sometime.
So we're going to keep going. We will have you back as my co-host to talk about another topic. And we can always come back to empaths at some other point. So thank you so much for hanging out. My co-host is Lisa Campion. And what's your website, cleverly enough?
LisaCampion.com.
So I'm really enjoying this new format of the two of us just hanging out and kicking things around, because you've got such a fascinating background, and it's different enough from mine that we can have a really good time with the conversation. So I'm enjoying this, and I hope everybody out there is enjoying it too. And I hope you're enjoying it.
I totally am. So awesome. Thank you so much.
So again, thank you. My co-host is Lisa Campion, and she will be back in a couple of weeks. So if by chance you're curious about who is this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com and cleverly hiding in plain view is every conceivable technology I could think of to get in touch with me, including a scheduling link that lets you make an appointment for a free 20-minute assessment of what's going on with a person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information about the show, that's at thefarkasfiles.com. We tried to make it easy to remember. And we've been doing this for 5 years now, so there are hundreds of interviews that you can check out with fascinating people doing fascinating things, and just enjoy it. And there are many, many ways that you can access all of those shows. The easiest one is the new Empower Radio app for both mobile platforms. You can just go to the appropriate platform store to download it and search for Empower Radio. And you can look at every show. So you could click on the Farkas Files and then click on programs, and all the stuff is there, and you can listen to it at your convenience. Of course, we're still on almost all the streaming media outlets, including TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and iTunes podcasts. So you can find us all over the place. I listen to a lot of stuff on TuneIn, so that's one of my favorite streaming media locations. As we're talking about how amazing and marvelous this all is, you know, here we are. I'm in one place. Lisa was in another place. The studio is in a third place. And you, as the listener, are in a fourth place. And seamlessly and easily, we get to do this together. How wonderful is this? And how great is it that at this point in time, it got easy for us to be a community, even though we're not physically in the same place? It's just, I'm marveling at all of that today. That's my thing to be grateful about today, and I hope that I hope the show is part of your life, and I hope that the show is something that benefits you and what's going on in your life. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.